Hi everyone, it's Gavin J, the best thing since winter, and you're listening to The Therapy Suite right here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. This week, I speak to Professor Rosella Nappi, who is the International Menopause Society President. Professor Rosella, thank you very much for coming on the show. How are you doing?
Fine, thank you, and thanks for the invitation.
And thank you for coming on the show. I think it would be great for you if you could, for our listeners, tell us a bit about yourself before you became, the president of the International Menopause Society, and just a bit before that, how you got into where you are and that kind of thing,
Sure, I'm a professor of OBGYN at the University of Pavia, Italy. That is a middle-sized town. Very much dedicated to science. We have three major research hospitals, a very old and famous university. I graduated back so many years ago, and my thesis was on postmenopausal osteoporosis. So it's a long-lasting relationship I have with the menopause. I've studied abroad in Canada and then back to Italy. And I work as a gynecologist, and I'm also an endocrinologist and sexologist by training. So all my life is dedicated to women's health. And I have the privilege now from 2024 to 2026 to be the president of the International Menopause Society, a fantastic organization, I have to say.
I think that's fantastic. To start, could you talk a bit about your role in the International Menopause Society and what does the society do?
My role is to be the president now. So I drive the show, really, but I have a fantastic team of people. They are expert, world-leading expert across the world. And we share ideas and projects to fulfill our mission. And the mission of the International Menopause Society really is to work globally to promote and support access to best practice healthcare for women. And we do this for midlife women, women in the post-reproductive life, because don't forget that not every woman will enter menopause at 50, so we have so many women out there, they can enter menopause even earlier. And our goal is really to optimize women's health and well-being. And we do it across the world. So we organize meeting every 2 years. Last year we were in Australia. Next year we will be in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Because we really want to be sure that every woman across the world has an equitable access to evidence-based knowledge and healthcare to really face menopause in the best way as possible.
Do you oversee other professionals that work with the ladies regarding menopause? Is that right?
We are professional from different specialties. Menopause is something that has to do with menstruation, because it means the last menstrual bleeding. And therefore, OBGYN are really doctors, they care for women. But we have experts from the endocrinology field, internal medicine, primary care, even midwives and nurses, and healthcare providers from other areas as well, public health, etc. So we are really a diverse environment, and this is the best way to care for women, really.
And so to get information out, do you send emails to professionals globally and that kind of thing to keep people up to date in terms of what's going on?
Sure, we have a fantastic website with a part that is dedicated to professionals and a part that is named Menopause Info that is dedicated to women and consumer. And we have a newsletter. I always write every 2 months a presidential message in which I update all the members of the society on the different activities. We share the breaking news in terms of good science and every kind of information that can be useful. We produce guidelines that we translate in many, many different languages, because you have to consider that many societies are affiliated to the International Menopause Society. We have around, I believe, 66 societies in the world. They translate, you know, what we produce at the international level, and they translate in their own country, because every system is different, you know, and this is the best way to serve different communities across the world.
That's fantastic. I think that's brilliant. And the professionals that attend the meetings, because you have meetings each year, is that right?
We have meetings every 2 years, because, you know, we want to be sure that we have enough new data and information to share with our members. And also, as you know, the traveling right now, it is quite expensive. So we try also to implement educational program on the website with webinars. We do constantly every month in order to update our members with the best evidence-based research and practice in the menopause. And this is very good, because we are in constant contact with our members throughout these activities.
You're actually away at the moment, aren't you, at one of the meetings? Is that right?
Yeah, at the present moment, I'm in South Africa, in Cape Town, and I gave a lecture today on menopause as a cardiometabolic transition, because we were lucky enough to organize a joint symposium with the Federation, International Federation OBGYN, that is the most important society. And we were able to have our symposium hosted by the society. So IMS, it's really important to say that nowadays menopause is having a momentum, and therefore IMS is a good partner society for international other international societies in different fields of women's health.
Fantastic. That's fantastic. Who attends the meetings? Who else attends the meetings as well?
You know, we have practitioners from every angle of the world. They are involved in women's health. So a significant percentage, they are OBGYN, but they come from a very diverse environment. So we have really practitioners there. Have a special interest in women's health in many domains of the discipline, from bone health, cardiometabolic health, mental health, etc. And it's really important, nutrition, lifestyle medicine, you know, a very diverse environment, really.
This year's International Menopause Society white paper focuses on lifestyle medicine for World Menopause Day on the 18th of October. What does that mean in the context of menopause, and why is it so important now?
This year, we believe that was a very good idea to devote our white paper to lifestyle medicine, because lifestyle medicine is rapidly growing. It is a discipline that focuses on the role of lifestyle factor in preventing, managing, or even reversing chronic disease. And, you know, the core principle of lifestyle medicine is like an old wine in a new bottle, meaning that we know very well since a long time that if you eat well, if you regular exercise, if you have good sleep, if you have a good mood and you avoid risky behavior, and even you establish a good relationship with the others, you feel better and healthy. But it's important to speak aloud this also, because we really want to have let's say, a well-balanced view of the menopause. Menopause is not a disease, you know? So it's a moment in life in which women, they need to understand that they can do something for themselves. And lifestyle medicine, in my view, is really at the heart of the menopause care, because it empowers women to put into action something that can trigger a change in the symptom, a change in the risk factors. And I really believe that by doing this, we can improve our quality of life and well-being.
Fantastic. That's brilliant. The International Menopause Society says that menopause is not a disease, but it can involve symptoms and health risks. How does the white paper recommend balancing lifestyle strategies with other evidence-based treatments?
You know, some women are more vulnerable than others to the change associated with the menopause. We know that hormones control every system of the body. Other women, they don't. They have just a mild symptom, or they don't develop risk factors. So what the white paper want to say to women is that we really need to follow, first of all, some very simple rules that we have to put into practice to do some good to ourselves. And we can do that with lifestyle medicine. But of course, there are women for whom eating well, exercising, etc., is not enough. So we really need to offer women a well-balanced view. There are some women, they need taking treatment, hormones or not hormones, because every woman has her own menopause, and we really need to individualize our care. And by producing a white paper, we always try to provide evidence-based information. And on lifestyle medicine, there is still a lot to be done, because we know, for example, that following a certain kind of diet, I come from Italy, so think about a Mediterranean diet, is so good to mitigate, for example, vasomotor symptoms, sleep disturbances, etc. But we really need to prove that this change can do some good to women on the longer run. And also keep in mind that lifestyle medicine involve different aspects. So it's not only a question of eating well and exercising, but it's really an overall way of doing, meaning that you have to watch how many hours do you sleep, because it's important to know that we really need to sleep at least 5-6 hours per night of refreshing sleep to be well and healthy. And sleep is a great important pillar of cardiometabolic health. So we really need to put in motion all these different pillars in order to facilitate a better adjustment to the menopausal transition and to optimize the future health.
Of course, sleeping, it helps with loads of things, doesn't it? Sleeping is so needed, isn't it?
Yes, sleep is fundamental. And you have to remember that when women suffer from vasomotor symptoms, and keep in mind, vasomotor symptoms, that means having a hot flashes or sweating during the day, during the night, becoming red, having palpitation, etc. These women, when they suffer during the night, they don't sleep well. You don't dream enough. Your sleep is not refreshing. And at the end, you feel fatigue. You feel low mood during the day. And you may have some problem in controlling what you have to do during your daily life. And this is the reason why some women, they have an impairment in their professional life, in their daily life, and even in taking care of the family, or they can have some problem in their intimate relationship, etc. So to optimize the sleep is very important, but it's also very, very important to control the symptom that is really the hallmark of menopause, that are vasomotor symptoms.
We're just going to a quick ad break and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity, and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Thank you so much, Professor Rosella in Nappi, regarding the IMS and in terms of International Menopause Society, what it does, and you know how useful it is. For listeners who may be overwhelmed, what are some practical steps, first steps they can take today to support their health during menopause?
Now we are recording?
Yeah.
Okay, because there was the break and I was not sure. You know, I think the society, what can do, it's really to emphasize that we have to follow, let's say, a frame of thinking. We have to follow a sort of toolkit to take care of women. So, first of all, we really need to take the opportunity at midlife to make a careful individual history, family history, to try to understand if women, they are at risk of something. And by collecting the information on the personal history and also the way women feel, the way women think about the menopause, if it's a natural transition, if it's the end of the world, because, you know, so many women fear the menopause. So, first of all, we have to reassure them that this is absolutely normal, that you can experience symptoms and that we have a solution. But this solution depends on many aspects. So we really need to put our expertise at service of women, and like in the supermarket, trying to propose to women different solution. For some women, we may need just very simple things such as lifestyle medicine principle. For other, we really need to select the best treatment for them. But we have to take into account also their preference, their needs, their beliefs, because not in every culture, women, they want to do this and that. And so we really need to learn, first of all, to listen to our patient, and then we have to empower them to do the best choice for their life in their particular moment. And of course, over time, revise with our patient what is best for them on, let's say, an annual basis or whatever is needed depending on the treatment.
Can exercise help, or certain types of exercise or anything like that?
Sure. Exercise is very, very important. And we know that the best exercise, first of all, it's really what you like to do, because, it's very important that we move, that we are in the open air, and we follow the simple rule of the World Health Organization that say that we really need to be active, and we should try to do at least 150 minutes of exercise per week. But sometimes it's not easy for women because they say they don't have the time, etc. What is very important, however, is always to try to have a mixture of aerobic and anaerobic exercise, because on one end you improve your cardiovascular health by doing aerobic exercise, and on the other end, if you do resistance exercise, you may improve your muscles, your bone, and so you prevent falls, you prevent the fracture, and this is extremely important. And it is important when you combine with a balanced nutrition. Remember, the plate should be full of vegetable, fruits, grains, and fresh food. And this is very, very important. Good protein, low sugar, low salt, low fat. And it's not so difficult. And in every country of the world you have your ideal plate you should follow. But of course, Mediterranean diet, olive oil, these are the really fundamental principle we should follow, and a lot of fresh food. This is really important.
And
stay hydrated. This is also very important to prevent cardiovascular and stroke risk. And women, they don't drink enough. This is what I know.
They don't. Sorry, what was that last bit about? What do ladies need to? Is it drink? Did you say or?
Yeah, they really need to be hydrated, and they have to drink water, not soft drink, not alcohol, just a little bit of red wine. Why not? A glass of red wine is very good because it contains a lot of polyphenols, and polyphenols are very important natural substances for our health because they behave like natural estrogen. They are antioxidant, so they are very, very good. I'm Italian, and I like red wine. Just a glass.
Of course. So having a balanced lifestyle, basically, a very good diet, along with exercise, these are some of the things that can help. Is that right?
Yeah, they can help a lot, but they can help together with an active lifestyle, being social connected, trying to manage also stress. This is very important because nowadays women, they struggle with work-life balance. Women, when they are 50 nowadays, they are really in the middle of their life in terms of a career, having kids. They are not so old. It's very important to keep on going with your relationship with the partner and to maintain an active sexual health. So there are so many things to do for women. And sometimes it's not easy, especially if you don't feel good.
Of course. So basically, in terms of access to information, where are the biggest gaps in information and care, and what needs to change so women everywhere can benefit?
I believe that, we don't speak aloud menopause enough. And this is the reason why in some countries more than in others, we don't have enough good information for women. Some women, they are not even aware that some symptoms, they are associated with menopause. And unfortunately, nowadays, we have a polarized view. In some countries, we don't have enough. And in some countries, we have too much. And some information are confusing, are not high quality high quality evidence-based information. And this is also a danger, you know, because our goal as the International Menopause Society is really to offer evidence-based information. So otherwise, let's say we have too much noise out there and we don't like all this noise if it's not well evidence-based, because there is not something that is a magic bullet to sell to women they are menopausal, you know, but there is a set of information that women should follow. They should be aware of the different changes they have in their body. For example, you can gain weight, but remember, it's not the menopause that causes you weight gain, it's the age. What is caused by menopause? It's caused that you change your body shape, that you accumulate visceral fat, for example, and this is bad for your health because you may develop insulin resistance. So this is something different, you know, by saying that menopause causes weight gain. And I can give you so many other examples about this.
What should health care professionals take from the white paper? You know, how can they better integrate lifestyle medicine into everyday clinical care?
You see, it's so simple. We can propose some simple rules to our patient. How we do that? When you do the personal history of a woman, you should ask a very simple question. Do you eat well? What are your eating attitudes? What do you do in your diet? Then we ask about regular exercise. How many hours you sleep at night? Are you able to control stress in some way with meditation, you know, doing other stuff in your life, etc., etc.? And in the meantime, we ask this question, we will give some little advice, a little piece of advice. Remember that lifestyle medicine encompasses different tips and tricks that come from several disciplines. Of course, we can consult also with a lifestyle medicine physician, okay? But every healthcare provider that is in the menopause arena can do a little bit of nutrition science, positive psychology, behavioral change, health and wellness coaching, a little bit of exercise physiology, explain why you should avoid risky substances, and a little bit of sleep medicine, you know? And at the very end, with little information, you can make a big change in your patient. And keep in mind that we have so many resources nowadays on the web, on the social media. And if we give the right advice, then women, they can go and they will pick up the best of the offer we have also on the social media.
Of course, of course. There's a lot of noise online. What are the biggest myths or misconceptions about menopause that you'd like to correct?
First of all, menopause is not a disease. Remember, we should embrace this chapter of our life with gratitude, and we should be able to know what is good for ourselves. Remember, there is no anti-aging medicine. When I consult women, they come to see me and they say, okay, I came to see you because you are a menopause expert. I don't want to age. I say, listen, we should age because this is the process, but we should age gracefully and in good health. This is really the polar star we have to follow. So, I would like to tell to women, hormones are not for everybody. Keep in mind, I see too many things going on I don't like. I see women, they are over 30. They say, it's my hormone, I have this symptom, it's the menopause. It's not the menopause, it's just maybe because you have PMS, because you are overstressed, because you have some trouble in your life. So, hormones are very important for women's health because they nourish our body from the air to the feet. But remember that we really need to be well balanced when we speak about the menopause, because otherwise we are putting too much emphasis on hormones. And keep in mind, hormones need to be studied properly in proper trial. We don't have magic hormones out there that you can personalize by taking sample in the saliva of the hormones, taking blood testing, etc. We have a manufactured product that they are, of course, natural, because nowadays we have a lot of bioidentical regulated hormones. They are manufactured by companies. They are studying in proper trial, and they are licensed. And really, we teach to our members at the Endocrine Society how to use it properly. So there is a lot of nutraceutical herbal remedies, this and that, they do not have enough evidence. So please stay away from this market that, in my opinion, nowadays is too busy. And not all the products they are marketed are evidence-based. So stay tuned on the good, well-evidenced information.
Thank you so much for that. We're just going to another quick ad break, and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If you see the letters AIDA, do you immediately think of the opera by Verdi? AIDA is also an advertising acronym for those iconic Mad Men days. A is for attention, I is for interest, D is for desire, A is for action. This process is a timeless truism for making a sale. Fortunately, if your product or service is health-related, we can offer you guaranteed access to a global audience with a high interest in health, healthy lifestyle, and contemporary well-being. UKHealthRadio.com has a regular monthly audience of around 1.5 million health-conscious people. And Health Triangle, its award-winning monthly magazine, has around 20,000 paying subscribers. Find out more about both at UKHealthRadio.com. Let's all put health first.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tena-sensitive care pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena-sensitive care pads with a skin comfort formula online and in stores now.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
It would be great if you wished us to basically just summarize some of the symptoms of the menopause, and also how can workplaces, communities and families play a role in supporting women through the menopause? What actions really make a difference?
Every woman has her own menopause, because we have so many symptoms that can be attributed to hormonal change and estrogen deficiency. The most common one are vasomotor symptoms, hot flashes and night sweat. Then you may have mood swings, you feel low mood, fatigue, anxiety, irritability. And this is also related to the quality of your sleep. And this is important to remember. We have also a subset of symptoms. They are very important for women. And sometimes women, they have difficulties in speaking these symptoms. They have to do with the genitourinary and sexual symptoms, vaginal dryness, sexual pain during intercourse, and so many women avoid intimacy because of vulvovaginal atrophy. We may have urgency, frequency, recurrent urinary infection, and even urinary incontinence, and women sometimes they feel ashamed to communicate this symptom to the partner or even to the healthcare provider. We may have also joint pains, muscles pain, and headache, migraine, and all these symptoms, they may really interfere with quality of life, ability to work in our daily life, being caregiver in our family, etc., etc. So, you know, every woman should do a little list of her own symptoms and which one are the symptoms they are bothering them most. And this is a nice way to consult your healthcare provider, to be seated with him for some minutes discussing the symptoms you really care. And another very important point that you mentioned is that women don't have to be shy to speak their symptoms aloud, even in the workplace. We hope human resources will include education in menopause in their companies, because this is so important. And if you are not having any symptoms, that you are so a lucky woman, okay, that's fine. But this is not because you're a better woman. It's just that you are lucky that you don't have the symptoms, because you are less vulnerable to the hormonal change. There are other women that don't have to feel guilty because they have plenty of symptoms. It's just because they have a genetic disposition to be more vulnerable to the symptoms and the risk factors of menopause. There are women that enter menopause, for example, due to surgery, due to, unfortunately, an oncological condition. So there is a diverse population of menopausal women. Everyone is important, and everyone deserve a special care and attention.
Of course, absolutely. How can workplaces, communities, and families play a role in supporting women through the menopause?
I think producing educational material, why not producing activities such as webinars for the employers, and also providing regular checkup for menopausal health. We know that many companies offer the so-called women annual checkup, including some blood testing, think about glucose or lipids profile, providing depending on the country and also on the age of the patient, a bone scan to check for the fragility of the bone, and doing preventive care in the oncological field, breast cancer screening, pap smear and HPV test for cervical cancer, and in case of irregular bleeding, for example, ultrasound, etc. So there are plenty of opportunity for the workplace to be active in helping women to protect their own health across the menopausal transition and beyond.
Finally, what is your call to action for governments, clinicians, employers, and women themselves to ensure progress continues beyond World Menopause Day?
I believe IMS, the International Menopause Society, has a mission to promote equitable menopause care. We are perfectly aware that there are some areas of the world where it's very difficult to have access to menopause care. We really need to implement all these programs across the world. We really need to provide the basic information that every healthcare providers, even in remote areas of the world, can offer to their patient. And you see, policymakers should really promote screening programs, campaigns to offer information to their communities, because there are so many menopausal women across the world. Think about longevity is increasing, and we have more than 25% of all females globally. They are more than 50 years of age, and we really need to press the organization across the world to put more money for research and care of women, regardless of geography, ethnicity, socioeconomic background, and healthcare setting.
Mm, absolutely. Just also forgot, just quickly, digital health, is there applications that help with menopause to, you know, to provide information to ladies or anything like that at all?
Think that digital health is really blooming, and we have apps, wearables. This technology can really be helpful, but we really need to understand what's the goal. You know, you may track your health, you may include some of your relevant data into this system. You can monitor yourself, of course, your progress, if you eat better, if you exercise regularly. But we really need to study this technology properly, because otherwise we make a false promise to our consumers. So I really believe that this femtech market can be really important for us as clinicians and scholars to do good research, and users can use them to collect information that we may share, and also they can be good to implement preventive program, etc. But we really need to find the best way to partner with these companies that produce femtech in order to really improve menopause care with this methodology. I think for the future, we will see a lot of this artificial intelligence, etc. But keep in mind that really we need also to have an individualized care, and sometimes a nice dialogue with your patient is very, very important. Of course, maybe we can go on the web and having a dialogue with a virtual expert, but it's nice also to be in the same room physically.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your time today. If people want to find out more about the Menopause Society or want to touch base for more information, are yourselves on any social media sites or anything like that?
Yes, sure. We are on all the major social media. We have our LinkedIn page, Instagram, and most importantly, please go www.internationalmenopausesociety.org, and you will find everything. And you put International Menopause Society on Google and you will go there, and you will have the part for women, the part for healthcare provider, and plenty of information translated in many different languages. So stay tuned and follow us for the World Menopause Day, October 18.
Fantastic. So thank you for your time today. Much appreciated.
Ciao, ciao. It has been a real pleasure. Bye.
And thank you to our listeners. You know, you can find me on Instagram at GavinJ417. Until next time, take care.